Good morning, everyone. Emmanuel, God with us, amen. It's a real privilege to be able to share the word this morning. Before I get going, I just wanted to do a little bit of that big departure. I will say the first half of this year. And the Lord has been dealing with us. You understand, we quite extensively about salvation. And in that salvation, the work that we do with God evangelism, you know, we thank and carry the gospel out to the lost. Amen. And then obviously last week, it was Easter week, and culminated in Easter weekend, where we celebrate the death, the crucifixion, and the resurrection of Christ. And the Bible says that we are likened to him in his death. Right? We died with him, and we are raised with him in his resurrection. Amen. So he's not still already buried, but we have now been raised with him in his resurrection. The word says that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work inside us. Wow. So, through that, I want to say no one. So the way that I'm going to share this morning is regarding the armor of God. You can turn it so long, because in Ephesians chapter 6, I'm going to be reading from verse 10. Before we get in there, I want to say that the work of the cross and the blood of Christ that was shed, Jesus said, it is finished. It is done and it is complete. But I think about it, there was absolutely nothing that we contributed to the work of the cross. That perfect work. The only contribution we did was we brought the sin. And the sin had to be paid for. So when we go into our just as a base, the work of the cross is done and is complete in Christ. Amen? Okay. So read Ephesians chapter 6. From verse 10. I'm reading out the NET. It says, finally, be strengthened in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Clothe yourselves with the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. I think it's very important to know that the devil has schemes against us. Bible goes on, verse 12, it says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it is against rulers and against powers, against the war rulers of this darkness, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavens. So it's for this reason, take up the full armor of God. For what reason? Because we're in warfare in the spiritual realm. For this reason, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand your ground on the evil day. That evil day is the day of testing, the day of temptation, the day of persecution. Whatever that may look like for anybody, that day. That we may be able to stand our ground on the evil day. And having done everything, to stand. Verse 14, it says, stand firm therefore, by fastening the belt of truth around your waist, by putting on the breastplate of righteousness, by filling your feet with the preparation that comes from the good news of peace, and in all of this, by taking up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Verse 18 says, with every prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and to this end be alert with all perseverance and requests for all the saints. Okay, that is quite a mouthful. So we're going to break that down slowly today. And then this morning, I just want to touch on the surface of what this armor looks like, and how we put it on an outflow plus our sources of water. Okay. So I want to say there's two sets of all. I'm not going to look at today because the library has spent since January teaching on the helmet of salvation, and the other one is a fee shot with the preparation of the gospel of peace, that we are prepared to go and share the gospel. Amen. So I'm not going to touch on verses, but I'm going to go look at the others. You know, I said the best I could come up with, I said the picture that the Lord gave me for this morning. And the armor of God. I don't know if anybody's seen the Last Samurai movie.
It's a good movie.
You haven't watched it. But Tom Cruise now is the Last Samurai, is going into the final battle. Okay? And he's standing there, he's now part of the samurai, kind of newly joined. And he's standing there and he gets his armor, a sort of pole. And I don't know if you've seen one samurai armor, but it was like, it's quite extensive. There's a piece of armor for every part of the body for protection. So he's standing there looking at it, and then one of the ladies comes in and she dresses it inaccurately. She's closing with this armor. It had to be put on in a certain way to ensure that there were no weaknesses or gaps in the armor for his protection. If you see the movie, you'll know what I'm talking about. But I want to say, such a piece with the armor of God as well. And I probably a lot of people can relate with me. At Sunday school, you make the different pieces of this armor and put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, belt of truth. And the thing is, I've got friends that do this, unless I've done it myself, and it's almost like, I would say, prophetic or charismatic jersey. You know, I go and I say, Lord, okay, before I go out today, I put on the helmet of salvation, put on the buckle of the truth, I tension it, and I put the breastplate of righteousness on it. But actually, I've never worked or put any effort into these pillars itself. These are pillars and keys, this armor, that have to be developed and found. They are pillars upon a foundation in which I must be found, that I'm able to stand against the evil one. Does that make sense? So don't worry about it. I've done the prophetic charismatic, make no mistake. I want you to quickly just get started here. Let's have a look at verse 11. I just want to highlight this. Because I think this is very, very important. And therefore, I highlighted before, the work of the cross, redemption, salvation, sanctification, is a done work, the blood that was shed. It is done. Christ did it. We can operate with what he has done and completed the work. But I want you to highlight this verse 11. The Lord said, well, Paul speaking to the Ephesian church, he says, clothe yourselves with the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. And I just want to highlight, the Bible does not say here that God is going to come down and clothe me. God is not going to come down and clothe me. The work of the cross, the work that God has done, is done. It is complete, it is perfect. It says, I must clothe myself with the full armor of God, that I will be able to stand against the sin of the devil. Amen. My part now is to operate with what the Lord has said and with what he has done and completed. The armor of God are the foundational keys and truths. That if we are found in it, we are victorious. Right? This is, we are equipped and victorious in spiritual battle when we are found in these things. The reality is, when we are born again, the Bible says that we are born into the army of God. We were positioned on the battleship. Neil Peters Steve Wooden. I think the left side over 50 got there. But then really is it true? The Bible says we were born again, we were born into the army of God. Verse 14. The first part of Romans that we better look at. Bible says, stand firm therefore by fastening the belt of truth around your waist. I think right now, more than ever before, there's so much deception. It is everywhere. I want to say, you know, obviously, there's mass deception in the world. But you know, even on Christian things and the things that are happening online at the moment, I think there is mass deception and confusion. It is crazy what's going on out there. Okay, I told Marie, sometimes when I go online, I sometimes read some of the stuff, you know, some of the Christian stuff. And I'm not shaking my head, I'm more confused than when I first started. And I go to Marie and say, I praise God that I can go to His Word of Truth. That with all the stuff and ideas and revelation and books and stuff that is out there, I can go back to the Word of Truth. I said, this is, I can find and instead, this is the truth. Amen. Or speaking with what it is for you. That Word of Truth in the Bible. We need the Holy Spirit. The Bible says it is the Spirit of Truth to break up the Word of God for us. I want to say, I'm standing for this. The Word of God alone is not enough. We need the Holy Spirit to guide us in truth. So the Word of God is a revelation of a king and his kingdom. It is not a set of rules of right and wrong. It's not a doctrine and it's not a denomination. It's a revelation of a person, a king and his kingdom. I'm going to share a quick story about something many, many years ago. I was young in the Lord at the time. And I was quite, when I got born again, quite excitable. I kind of managed to piece of anything that walked and moved and looked at me sideways. And the thing was, what I done is, and I studied the word, and I built up a trove of knowledge on the word. Okay? And the thing was, you know, the Bible says knowledge. Anyway, so I was in this place, and I was having quite a fun. This is where I was. And I wouldn't say that I heard audibly, but I heard something in my heart. And it sounded something like that. Wait, you're a Pharisee. And I was shocked, but I felt it in me. And I said, Lord, how can this be? I'm serving you. I'm following you. And I started to name all the things that I do. And that was the problem. And I said, so, and the Lord showed me that I had this trove of knowledge of the Word, but my revelation of Jesus wasn't strong enough to carry that knowledge. It had taken me to a place where these were revelations and knowledge, but it didn't have the way to know Christ to carry that kind of knowledge. Does it make sense? And obviously, I mean, there's probably a sponsor, but I didn't have it at the time. I said to the Lord, what am I saying to you? The Lord said, wait, repent. So, and looking at the time, I said, Lord, I'm sorry, you know, this time I had, and literally, it was like starting all over again. I think, I don't know if about that minister this morning where we said to come to the Lord as a child. And it said, all of a sudden, I had to go back to the Lord. Like, it was not gender relation stuff. But I had to go back to the Lord as a child. And I had to go to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, show me Jesus. When I spent time in studying the Word, show me Jesus. Take me to Jesus. If I don't get there, it's just knowledge. Does that make sense? We need the Holy Spirit. We need to be open again to Jesus. The Bible says, Jesus is the things that we have been doing, think of the Holy One, of the Spirit that teaches us
all things.
Amen. Because it was a good with the Pharisees, when Jesus spoke, I think, when Jesus spoke to our Lord, said, what was with the Pharisees? Jesus said to the Pharisees that you entrusted with the scriptures, and of the scriptures, and all that he said, you didn't recognize what the scripture revealed. And that is the danger. So when we operate, we remember we're the bulk of the truth, right? We tend to run our ways. Except the one I put into myself, that is the Bible, the Word of God, and the leadership of the Holy Spirit, spoon of truth that leads us in order to man. Does that make sense? I'm going to share just another quick testimony that I have. Hopefully it's clear enough, but it was only a few weeks back. And I think everybody at one time or another has been confused, or you're going to feel confused. But for me, a few weeks ago, I woke up in the morning and, you know, I could just feel something not right. I could feel like an oppression. And everybody was different. You know, I remember I had a lot of some of the not nice encounters when I was younger in the Lord, but I haven't really felt it like this before. And I didn't have any wisdom or knowledge to it. And it caused a lot of confusion. And then there was a lot of accusation. But obviously for me, it was serious. My peace had left in the Lamborghini. Yeah, that's what my piece said. And I was before the Lord, I said, Lord, all truth is in you. I don't have revelation, understanding, really, of what is going on. But I was really hoping to show me what is going on. And it was a few days, it wasn't overnight, it would have been nicer. But over a period of a few days, the Lord came and spoke to me and said, wait. It's a spirit of fear. Now, if people know me, it's one thing I really don't struggle with as an anxiety and everything. Pretty chill, to be quite honest. But I really said, well, it's quite a new experience for me. You feel that kind of pressure. But the spirit of truth, brought the truth of what that looked like. And me and myself emotionally confused. I don't know what was happening. But in him, the revelation of the truth came on. I said, Lord, why must I do this? I said, because I don't have God finished God. Yeah. We need the spirit of truth to find the legacy or truth. Okay. So that's the first piece of armor. And I want to link it. It just looks so long to verse 17. So I want to link it. It says the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So we're speaking about truth. We're speaking about the Word of God, the Spirit of truth. And in verse 17, it says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And if you have a look at it, that is the sword of the Spirit. We're now going on attack, not on defense. Amen? I said, what does that look like when we attack with the Word of God? What does that look like? I have a little, it's my little pet saying, often saying, my Bible a little bit in that, but I really believe there's no greater power than when you read the Word of God to believe and to do it. I believe there's no greater power than when you read the Word of God that you believe to do it. I don't know, I have something that Jesus said, you can turn it off, look at the Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to read from verse 24. There is immense power that is released when you act upon the word of God. I'm just going to paraphrase a little before this. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus starts a sermon on the ground. Okay? In Matthew chapter 5. And everybody does it. Jesus unpacks the kingdom of God through Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 6, and Matthew chapter 7. He unpacks the government and operation of heaven to the disciples and to those that were there. And now, in concluding the Sermon on the Mount, this is what Jesus said to his disciples. Verse 24. It says, "Anyone who hears these words of mine and does them is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds beat against that house. But it did not collapse because it had been founded on the rock." Amen. We are founded on the rock when we are obedient to the word of the Lord. The negative side of that, everybody knows this from Sunday school, verse 36 says, "Anyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and we beat against that house. It collapsed, and it was utterly destroyed." I just want to highlight persecution, the rain and the storms came against the house that was built on the rock and against the house that was built on the sand. But the house on the rock is the one that stood. What is the house on the rock? They had heard the Lord and were obedient to what they heard. Can we move on? Okay. So I'm going to look at the breastplate of righteousness. I'm going to read verse 14 to 15. It says Ephesians 6, verse 14. "Stand firm then, by fastening the belt of truth around your waist, and by putting on the breastplate of righteousness." So I'm going to, you don't have to follow me now. I'm just going to read a whole lot of scripture. It's probably only about 35% of the scripture regarding righteousness. But I'm just going to read, there's nothing that I can do and teach that is more revolutionary and comes with great revelation of what the word is saying. Amen. So, the breastplate of righteousness, Romans chapter 3, verse 22, it says, "Namely, the righteousness of God through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ for all who believe." Whose faithfulness? So Jesus Christ's faithfulness for all that believe. Romans chapter 4, verse 6. So even David himself speaks regarding the blessedness of the man to God, to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. That's good news. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. "He is the reason you have a relationship with Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption." Galatians 2:21, "I do not set aside the grace of God, because if righteousness would come through the law, then Christ died in vain." Philippians 3, verse 9, "And to be found in him, not because I have my own righteousness derived from the law, but because I have the righteousness that comes by way of Christ's faithfulness, a righteousness from God that is in fact based on Christ's faithfulness." There's a lot of scripture there. Really, if you go and do a search on the scriptures of righteousness, this is like 25% in the New Testament. I think we can get the message that we have received the righteousness apart from any work that we have ever done. It says we have received the righteousness that is in Christ. The breastplate of righteousness is a breastplate of identity. It is a breastplate of identity. There's We suffer with this mass confusion of hope and recording our identity. We read things that people can identify with anything. We see children identify with everything. We see boys identify as girls. We it does not one and one and one. Right? Identity is vitally important and sacred. That's not a proper spelling of person and work a whole lot of mass confusion. I'm going to share the story of something that I said as a you believe in Christ, but also as a when I was a high believer. I think that I would say with respect and more than anything, but I would say I think I've also taken up to be quite honest. So there were certain things in my character or in my person that just weren't developed. So I had a lot of insecurity, especially as an unbeliever, but also when I was first born again. So, and it led me to a place of performance and striving. I don't know if anybody can relate. I always, if somebody fasted, I had to fast more. If somebody prayed, I had to pray longer. And better. People prayed in the spirit. My language had to be better. It was a long time. The thing was, there was certain stuff in my person, in my identity, that wasn't properly. The Bible says we are a new creation in Christ. You and me, we are new creations in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, I think people saw me those days and they said, this guy's ready for the duty, man. But I went to the Lord and said, I can see these things in my life and I don't mind after what you say about me. What must I do? And the Lord told me, he said, why? Go and find out what I say about you and start declaring over your heart. So this was for me. And I used to walk around and say, why? You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus the Lord. I used to look at myself in the mirror and say, why? You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus the Lord. Sometimes if people greeted me and say, how do you do? I used to say, I'm white. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus the Lord. I want to tell you, I felt so far in reality. I felt so far from that place. But after a year, something changed in my heart. That truly I can look at myself in the mirror and say, why truly you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus the Lord. Yaku, truly you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus the Lord. To be clear, this breastplate is a breastplate of identity of who we are. The Bible says, through inheritance, God came and adopted us, and we are now his sons and his daughters. That is who we are. It's a breastplate of identity. The Bible says the devil is accused of the brethren. In Greek, his name is Diabolos. It means the accuser. It's what it does. If we do not stand, and if, remember this is all that we must put in. The Lord has done the work, but we put on and clothe ourselves with the breastplate of righteousness. This is who we are in Christ. Because I want to tell you honestly, the devil wants to put his identity there. He wants to tell you who he thinks you are. He wants to tell me who he thinks I am. Amen. So moving on, just lost of all. So the last one we're going to look at, I'm going to look at the shield of faith. So you can go look at verse 16 in Ephesians chapter 6. It says, and in all this, by taking up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. That's what we have spoken about in the devil. The nightmares of the evil one, designed and appointed to every one of us. When we take up the shield of faith, it says we extinguish these arrows that the devil plans against us. In John 10:10, it says that the thief comes only to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But by Christ that come that you may have life and that you may have it in abundance. So I want to say, whatever you're facing today, there is a path of victory in Christ Jesus. There is a path of victory, whether it be relationships, whether it be family, whether it be finances, circumstances, whatever it may look like. There is a path of victory in Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we are more than overcomers, even our faith, more than conquerors, through Christ who loves us. In closing, I'm going to do a quick paraphrase. For me personally, I love the story of Abraham. So I'm going to speak to relate back to the testimony in the book of Romans regarding Abraham. It says Abraham was the father of faith. And he was quite an incredible guy. It says that he was blessed because he heard God and that he prayed that he believed in him who he had not seen. So God comes and gives Abraham a promise. He says, you're going to be the father of many nations. Now, in reality, the Bible says Abraham was 90 years old. He owes all. That's a lot. And it says, Sarah is barren. Right? And so, probably the most unlikely promise. But the Lord makes a promise. He will be the father of many nations. The Bible says, Abraham never wait at the promise of God. He got involved and started a bit of nonsense, but it says he never ever waited at the promise of God. He believed that that which God had promised, God would fulfill. So much so, you must imagine, I'm speaking now for the ladies here today. Can you imagine being married to this guy? The Lord speaks here, he's inherited the promise. He's not the promised son. The inheritance is manifest. The Lord says to him, take Isaac up the mountain and go sacrifice him. Abraham's fault the system, no fault the system. Next way he's packed up, he's heading with Isaac up the mountain. The Bible says, so sure was he that the Lord would provide a way, that he would provide a sacrifice. So absolutely sure was he that the Lord will fulfill what he had promised. When we take up the shield of faith, so absolutely we are assured that that which the Lord has said, he will fulfill. Amen. Specifically, what he was preparing. The Lord really put my heart away regarding condemnation. That's something that I dealt with, obviously, as an unbeliever, but then also as a young man in Christ. And to be honest with you, it was a nasty battle. It's not much to close to us, you can never close. Now, I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up or anything like that. I just want you to listen to God this morning. That if there is a place right now that you are dealing with condemnation, when you trust the Lord to come and touch that place and touch that area, that each and every one of us can walk in the fullness of victory. So with your eyes closed, I'm going to read some scripture over all the verses this morning. It's 1 John 3, I'm going to read from verse 19. It says, and by this we will know that we are of the truth, and we will convince our conscience in his presence. That if our conscience condemns us, God is greater than our conscience, and He knows all things. Because, dear friends, if our conscience does not condemn us, we have confidence in the presence of God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing to Him. Brothers and sisters, the devil does not want to say good to God. It says, if our conscience does not condemn us, we have a confidence in the presence of God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do the things that please Him. My Heavenly Father, I thank You that there is no condemnation for them that are in Christ, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. I thank You, Lord Jesus, that You have paid the full price, that we can walk in freedom and in liberty. And I pray right now, Lord, that each and every person here this morning that is carrying a burden of condemnation, I pray that You, Father, right now to minister to each and every one of us, Lord, by Your Spirit. And I pray for freedom and I pray for victory in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, Your word says that Your anointing reverses the word that destroys the enemy. I pray this morning, Lord, that Your anointing will fall on each and every person here this morning, Lord, and that burden will be removed, and that Your yoke will be destroyed. Lord, that each and every one of us will walk in the fullness of the identity, this new creation in Christ, to which I've called us. Father, we just want to honor and thank You that You are the prophet and we are the clay. And I thank You, Father, that the work that You do is perfect. Your word says, Lord, for freedom's sake, You want us to be free. What a privilege and honor that Your heart is for freedom of Your children. Lord, we give You the praise and the honor and the glory. So I just pray for each and every one of us here this morning that we will walk in freedom and victory from that which was purchased for us through Your cross. I give You the praise, the honor, and the glory in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
So, what have I done? Well, I've done this. Ja, en ik heb die over die God ons op een stuur, dat ons om het nieuws te monteren. Ik ben niet daar, maar ik liep hier met, en ik zou met dit aangegeven die heb ik gezegd om je vrij te maken. Ik denk dat voor jullie die dit woord zijn en de zand zit voor iets voor jullie. Geef op mijn kus en ik zeg, ja, ik geef jullie toestemmen om voor mij te komen vrij maken. Ja, dan vervolg ik jullie uit dat die ons met de baas is. Dat die komt er altijd. Die soort tijden met ons hart op te houden. En ik vroeg hier in dat door dat Je woord moet not written for the kingdom's word. Maar dat Je woord moet accomplish wat Hij zich zegt af te komen in de naam van Jesus. Te drijven met de Jesus. Amen.